Welcome, and thank you for streaming this sermon. At Heritage Baptist Church, we believe that the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus can truly change lives. So it is our hope and prayer that this service stirs up your affection for Christ and helps you to draw closer to Him. For more information, please visit hbchaslett.org.
If you would, in your Bibles this morning, turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. I'm glad I know the master of the wind, don't you? And, Colossians chapter 3. This morning we think about, again, Thanksgiving, and as the holiday fast approaches, and we'll all be looking forward this week to spending time with family and friends, eating some turkey. I especially enjoyed fried turkey. Has all that grease in it, just that helps a whole lot. Looking forward to family and friends. Just want to encourage you this morning, and again, admonish you from the Bible about being thankful. Colossians chapter 3, we're not going to read this whole chapter, but we're going to read a lot of it. So Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Here Paul's admonishing us to seek the things above. Amen? Set your affection on things above, not on things on this earth. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. And it goes through and gives a list there. It says, look at verse 9. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, longsuffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, and if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, love in action, which is the bond of perfectness. And let, look at verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. So Paul is saying as Christians that we ought to set our affections on things above and not on things of this earth. That we ought to mortify or put to death some of these things that are listed here. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, and so forth. He says, put off the old man. And it is the illustration is just like taking your coat, taking it off. Put off the old man and then put on the new man. Again, when you got saved, when you accepted Christ as your Savior, the Bible says that we became a partaker of the divine nature of God. That we became new creatures in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And we're to take off that old man with his affections and with his sins, and take him and put him off and put on the new man. We ought to put on Christ. And then it gives a list of other things. But in that list, he says, put on charity and the bonds of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Be ye thankful. Take off the old man, put on the new. Again, Paul makes it very clear that we ought to be thankful. Notice it doesn't say, you know, if you want to. It says, be thankful. And so we get a clear command in the Bible. We ought to observe that command. We ought to do, be doers of the word and not hearers only. And so as Christians, as born-again believers, we're to take off that old man, put on the new man, and be thankful. And be thankful as Christians. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Pray, Lord, again, you would bless the reading of your word and help us, Lord, as Christians and as individuals to be thankful and, Lord, to, again, ascribe to you all that you are. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Be thankful, Paul says. Psalm 100, verse 4 that we read just a moment ago, In our beginning there, it says, enter into his gate with thanksgiving, and enter into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. again, we think about entering into his gates with thanksgiving and in his courts be thankful to him and bless his name. Thankfulness and praise are clearly linked. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, listen to this one. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, so an explanation of that, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. So the fruit of our praise comes from our lips, and it's thanksgiving. It's being thankful. In fact, it talks about there in Hebrews that that's a continual sacrifice in the Lord, a spiritual sacrifice to him. As I said before in our opening, that the Hebrew word for thanksgiving and praise are very closely linked. And in some ways, in some areas, they're interchangeable in the Old Testament Hebrew. To praise him, to give thanks to him, to sing and shout joyfully, being thankful to him. Being unthankful in our society or in society is the sign of being unthankful, or the indication of an unthankful society is moral decline. It's moral decline. Let me say it again. So the indication of society that is unthankful is moral decline. I'm just trying to point that out. That's today. We've been studying our key verse or our theme verse for the year. And we studied 2 Timothy chapter 3, the first part of the chapter. Verse 1 says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And then Paul says to Timothy, here are some indications. Here are signs that you are living in the last days. Men will be lovers of their own selves. And it gives a big long list. But in verse 2, it says unthankful. That people in the last days will be unthankful. Unthankful. By the way, Romans chapter 1 that we use a lot, we quote it a lot, where it speaks about, again, that that God gave them up to a reprobate mind, that men will love men, women, a lot of immorality there. And in that same context, it says this. It says, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imagination. So in that list of very immoral sins, he puts unthankful there. Again, the last days, perilous times shall come. The indications of the last days is unthankful. People will be unthankful. Romans chapter 1 is where I'm getting the context that a society that's in an indication that a society is unthankful is moral decline. That God just gives them up to it. Society as a whole and individuals as well. We live today in an unthankful society. We live today in an unthankful world. And we as Christians should buck the trend. We ought to be a thankful people. And we ought to be thankful unto God. Because, again, they were not thankful. God gave them up. One author said it this way. He said, it's kind of like the tipping point for God. God is long-suffering. And we're thankful for that, aren't we? But God has his limits. And it's almost like in Romans chapter 1, as you read through that chapter, you see all these immorality going on. And all of a sudden, you see unthankful, kind of towards the end of the list. And he says, and then he gave them up. It's almost like that's the tipping point to God. God has a tipping point. I'm thankful he's long-suffering. In fact, the Bible says he's long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come repentance. It talked about him being long-suffering in the days of Noah. He didn't want to destroy the earth. He wanted to see those people saved and return to God. It talks about the long-suffering in the days of the Canaanites and when the children of Israel were in the promised land for 400 years. God gave the Ite people that were in the promised land the opportunity to turn to him. He's long-suffering, but there is a limit. And an indication in Romans chapter 1 is that maybe that tipping point is unthankfulness. We ought to, and we need to be a thankful people. Being thankful does not come natural. Gratitude is not a part of our nature. And Curtis Hudson said it this way. He said, anything you have to be taught to do is not a part of your nature. And anything you do without being taught is a part of your nature. So if you grab a duck and you throw it in the water, You don't have to teach a duck how to swim. It naturally swims, right? But you take a little child and throw it in the water, him or her in the water. It's a gamble. 50-50 chance. Y'all seen the John Wayne movie, right, where he throws that boy in the... His mama's screaming, "Oh, what'd you do?" He said, "You got to learn how to swim sometime." That's John Wayne's way of teaching, right? People today, you know, they take their kids to swim class or whatever. I'd say that because we did that with my boys. My dad just chunked me in the water. Anyway, the illustration's getting off here. You don't have to teach a duck how to swim, but you do have to teach a child how to swim. Right? It doesn't come natural. We have to be taught and trained how to swim, sometime for survival. Being grateful, it doesn't come natural. Again, a child has to be taught to say thank you. Right? So you give a child something and you tell little Johnny, say thank you. You begin that as they're very small. You know, 1-year-old, 2-year-olds, they begin to talk and you teach that child, say thank you. And guess what you have to do, parents, young parents? You have to do that over and over and over again because it doesn't come natural to them. And you have to continue to tell them to say thank you. Say thank you. And, you know, sometimes as a little kid, you know, and you say thank you. I'm going to take you. Say thank you, right? We've all the kids have experienced it, right? Miss Harris understands, Miss Harris. Thank you. Doesn't come natural. We have an ungrateful nature. We are selfish by nature. But we ought to be a thankful people. And we ought to be thankful. We you know, say funny and laugh about the kids, but sometimes we're not very good about saying thank you as well. And I don't do enough of it, but I have tried over the years on Mondays to sit down and write out a few thank you notes. Some of you have received some of those, and some of you say, "I never did, sorry. I wasn't very thankful that week." I'm not as consistent as I want to be or ought to be, but I try from time to time, at least when someone has done something for me or for the church, to write a little thank you note, just thank you. Adults, we need to be thankful. Not just put it off on the kids, but it's one of those things we have to continually keep and ascribe to and try it. Being a thankful people, being a thankful person doesn't come natural. So how are we to be thankful? How can we be thankful? The number one thing on the list of being thankful is to recognize that all we have comes from God. And that really comes down the list. We could go home today. I mean, that's really it. Understanding that everything we have, and that not just things we have, but everything that comes our way comes from God. James chapter 1, verse 17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, from the Father of lights." That everything we have, everything that happens in our life, everything comes from God. Everything comes from Him. I've told the story, it's been a long time, so I hadn't told the story lately, but since we're moving, I'll tell the story about our first house me and my wife lived in. Some of y'all I've heard this story, but it's a good one. So my wife and I got married right out of high school. And my computer science teacher in high school had a rental house there in the town of Bowie that he said if we would work on and paint and fix and do, we could live in it for free. And so we began, before we got married, went over there and began to paint. And the bathroom had one little bathroom. I'm talking about a house of about 700 or 800 square feet, real small, just the old pier and beam house. And so we got in there and we had to put a new floor in the bathroom, little, you know, put down some 3/4-inch plywood, put the toilet back in place. There was a big old gap around the bathtub, about, inch or two, all the way around the bathtub that kind of, you could kind of peer down into the, you know, underneath the house. The front door, we put a new front door. He had put a front door on it at some point, but it was never really finished out, the trim, so you could see outside. Windows, you know, old wooden windows that were painted shut. You couldn't open them. There were no doors in the house. So we just hung up curtains, you know, curtains over the bathroom door, curtain over the bedroom door. It was interesting. Had the Dearborn heater, you know, gas heater. So you know, on a cold morning, you get up in the morning, you're in the bedroom. There wasn't one in the bedroom. So you get up in the morning, you see the smoke coming out of your mouth. Indication that it's pretty cold in the house. Again, you could see outside most of the time, and it was something to behold. Sit in the bathtub and watch. Anyway, never put any linoleum or anything on that plywood floor in the bathroom. It just stayed plywood, you know. We didn't care. We were married in love. We didn't care. First house. We lived there about 8 or 9 months. Moved into a house that wasn't much better after that one. And then I look at the house I live in now. My goodness. Amazing what God's done. And how God has been so good to us. Most of you would have somewhat similar story, maybe not quite that, like that. But all of us have been blessed beyond measure. And it is good for us to go back and remember that everything we have comes from God. To recognize none of us are self-made. Psalm 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all His benefits. Man, we are so forgetful. We are so forgetful. Somebody yesterday was looking for their keys. Couldn't find their keys. It was a Dodge, so it really didn't matter. Brother Ross. Looking for his keys. I don't know if he ever found them or not, but he's here this morning back there. You know how it is. You can't find the remote. You know, we forget where stuff's at. Laid my cell phone down. Fell off the car onto the highway. John had to go find it. Everything happens. I mean, it's amazing how forgetful we are. And we kind of laugh about those things, but we forget how good God's been to us. We forget in the circumstance that we may be in now, the trial that we may be in now, the detour or the test we're in now, we forget how good He was to us in the past. We love that old song, "Count Your Blessings. Name them one by one. Remember what the Lord has done." Everything comes from Him. Everything comes from Him. We should not forget His benefits. He is the Creator. By the way, if He's Creator, then He's the rightful owner. Again, the evolutionist or the atheist is an atheist primarily because they do not want to be accountable to a Creator. We have been created. We are not made of ourselves, the psalmist said. We ought to be thankful, again, that God has created us. By the way, He created us at the center, if you would, of His creation. We were the pinnacle of the creation. God made the universe, the sun, moon, and stars. God made the land animals. God made the plants and the trees. And God made everything. And then He made man, a living soul. By the way, He made this earth for us to enjoy. And I know I point this out pretty often, but I'm thankful He made the earth for us to enjoy, that everything's not just black and white and everything doesn't just taste the same. He made multiple different colors and He made multiple different foods that we can enjoy. And He didn't have to do any of that, but He made those things for us to enjoy. He made us that He might fellowship with us, according to the book of Revelation. We were created to fellowship with Him. And just as a side note, and one of the most important notes is, He redeemed us. He sent His Son to this world to die on the cross for us, to shed His blood for us, that we might have our sins forgiven and that we might have eternal life. What a great privilege it is to be a child of God, to know Jesus Christ as my Savior, to know that one day when I die, that heaven will be my home. Be thankful that God, the God of the universe, gave His Son for us. The Creator became our Savior and gave His life in order that our sins could be forgiven and that we could have a home in heaven. I hope this morning you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you don't, you can have that opportunity this morning. In just a moment, we'll sing and you can come down the front and one of our counselors here will show you from the Bible how your sins can be forgiven and how you can have a home in heaven. You just have to come to Jesus. Repent of your sins and believe in His life, His death, and His resurrection. You can have eternal life. He redeemed us. We ought to be thankful for the sacrifice He made on Calvary, remembering our Creator again. The basis of thanksgiving is a recognition that everything comes from God. That's the basis. Everything comes from God. So, secondly, what should I be thankful for? Well, Ephesians 5:20 helps us out on that. Paul says this. He says, giving thanks always for all things unto God. Giving thanks always for all things. Amen. Not some things, all things. Giving thanks sometimes for, no, all things, always. We ought to give thanks to God for the good and the bad. The good and the bad. All things. That's a tough order. That's tough. When he says, that's a command, by the way. He says, give thanks in all things. Always. That's Ephesians 5:20. But remember what Romans 8:28 says. Paul says, all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are called according to His purpose. So they go together. He says, be thankful for all things or in all things. And then God is... almost died. I'm thankful for that. Paul said, be thankful in all things, in everything. And then he says that God works all things together for our good. Can I remind you this morning that God has your best interest in mind? That everything that comes in your life, everything that comes in your life is there for your good. He reminded Israel that over and over again as they wandered through the wilderness and as they went through the teachers and all the things in their society. He reminded them many times, this is for your good. This is for your good. All things work together for good. We ought to be thankful in all things, the good and the bad. It's hard. It's hard when your health fails to be thankful. It's hard when you lose your job to be thankful. It's hard when the grades are not where they need to be. It's hard. Some of that's because you didn't study. It's hard. It's hard when they come and repo your car. Whatever it is in your life, it's hard. It's easy when there's money in the bank, right? It's easy when your health is great. It's easy when the kids and grandkids and everybody's doing great and fine. What happens when one of those kids mess up? What happens when the grandkid messes up and you're up at night praying and weeping for them? Is God still good? Is He still to be thanked? Absolutely. We ought to be thankful in all things. This is hard. It doesn't come natural to us. It doesn't come natural to us. We have to be reminded over and over again as Christians. By the way, you live long enough, you'll view your past difficulties different. Let me say that again. If you live long enough, you'll view your past difficulties differently. I think about Job. Job lost everything. His 10 kids died. His wife cursed him and said, won't you just curse God and die? Job said, naked came out of my mother's womb, naked I returned, blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. At the end, what happened with Job? Well, first off, he got a great, great view of God. A great, greater understanding of who God is. He said, I heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. Talking about God. I've heard of thee. I've heard of God by the hearing of the ear. But now my eye seeth thee. And it transformed his life. It changed his life. And guess what else happened? He got double what he had before. God blessed him immensely. Listen, God has your best interest in mind. This is another Curtis Hudson quote. He says, thanksgiving is thankfulness. And really, it is, if the Anglo-Saxon root word is think. Being thankful is to think. The more you think, the more thankful you'll be. Which the opposite means is true too. So the less you think, the less thankful you'll be. Again, think about your family and how God has been so good to you. Amen. You think about your health. And by the way, even if you may have this or that going on, you're here this morning. Heart's still beating. right? Get to sit by your husband. Amen. I appreciate Miss Bobby's this morning, her attitude. I mean, what a blessing. Somebody been through cancer four times and got you know, in here. We can be thankful in everything. Be thankful. Think about your home. Think about your church. Again, think about salvation and what God's done for you there. Thankfulness, like happiness, is mostly a choice. Thankfulness, or being thankful, thankfulness is a lot like happiness. It's mostly a choice. It really comes down to perspective. It's being able to look back and, you know, and see things retrospectively. This is going on in my life now, but look what else has happened in my life. And therefore, I know God's going to take care of the future. Therefore, I can be thankful, knowing again that God has my best interest in mind. God always has my best interest in mind. So Paul says, be thankful. That's a command. It's a tough command, but we're required to do it. If we don't do it, then we are not right with God. We need to be thankful. We need to be a thankful people. How are we to be thankful? Recognize all that we have comes from God, the good and the bad. Again, that trial in your life either make you bitter or better. It's your choice. Be reminded that God's in control. That God always, you know, God may put you in the fire, but He has the handle of the thermostat. Always. Nothing that comes into your life as a Christian is there that God has not allowed happen in your life. Then thankfulness produces thankfulness. Just think a little bit. When the devil tries to get you discouraged and whatever the case is, just go back and think a little bit. Maybe you need to sing that song, Count Your Blessings, a few times, and you sing it to yourself. When upon us billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, angels will attend. Comfort give you till your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Just count your blessings. Think a little bit. Think a little bit. This is a quote from H.W. Westridge. He said this, and this is, I came across this. This is good. By the way, this is the end here. We're concluding. The pilgrims, listen to this. We're thinking about Thanksgiving, right? The pilgrims made seven times more graves than huts. The pilgrims made seven times more graves than they made homes. Nevertheless, they set aside a day for Thanksgiving. By the way, they set aside a day for Thanksgiving to the Lord. They buried way more people than they built homes for. Seven times more. And yet, they had the awareness to know that everything comes from God and that we need to set aside a time to give Him thanks. Thanksgiving to the Lord. Amen. Recognize everything comes from Him. Understand that He always has your best interest in mind. Think a little bit. When the devil's going to do that, well, he's going to fire, you know, his fiery darts at you and try to, he loves to use discouragement to get you down. Just think a little bit. When you're depressed, think a little bit. Just be reminded to give thanks in everything. Let's all stand. Hymn 163, only trust Him. 163, only trust Him after we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the reminder this morning that we ought to be a thankful people. God, I praise You this morning and thank You for all that You've done in my own life. For the home You've given me, the wife You've given me, family, friends, church, and my salvation. More may we be a thankful people. And we'll praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.
On behalf of our church and staff, thank you for listening to this sermon. For more sermons and more information about our church, please visit hbchazlett.org.